Well, let me begin by asking, how has your first full week of 2021 been? Right. Oh, boy, right? I want to share a comic. Growing up, my dad owned his own business, and I remember as a kid, one of my favorite things to do, when I go into my dad's office, the business he owned, my dad would save comics that he would cut out of the paper. Now, many of you younger children have no idea what that means. I remember our family fighting over, especially the Sunday comics. I don't know how many of you remember that, the ones that actually came in color. And I would fight over those, and there would be some of my favorites. And I remember one of my dad's favorite was called The Far Side. Anybody hear The Far Side? All right. And so to my delight, I was walking through Sam's Club about a week before Christmas, and I discovered that they had recreated a Far Side calendar that was back in the mid to late 90s. And some of you may have had this calendar. I had this calendar growing up. And I remember my dad always would post these all over his office, and they kind of have a dry sense of humor. But I have it in my hand. This is the Far Side comic for today. A little bit of laughter is good. And if you can see the picture there, it's got a number of cowboys in the West gathering around a table. And it says, hour after hour, cup after cup, the two men matched their caffeine limits in a traditional contest of the Old West. Some of you might, yeah, it's dry, so I don't expect a lot of laughter. You're missing the point of Far Side if you were thinking you were going to laugh. But some of you may be feeling that way hour after hour, the grind of this first week back. And I know we've always dreaded that first week back after some time away, but this year it just felt even maybe a little bit harder. So you might find yourself cup after cup of caffeine. It's just never quite enough, is it? I want to talk to you a bit this morning as we begin this series, maybe about how we can move from some discouragement that we all face and how we can respond to some of the challenges that are before us, really by focusing in on what it means to have small faith and a big God. Are you feeling discouraged? Maybe because you were eager to start. You've been anticipating 2021 as an opportunity for you to start, to launch out. Maybe that's some personal goals that you had. Maybe it's some business goals or some work goals, and you had hoped that 2020 would start very different than the way 2021 would start very different than the way 2020 ended. But here we are, and you're ready to start, but now you're like, it's ready, set, wait. And there's some discouragement with that. I know that some of us may be having some of those feelings. Perhaps you're eager, but you don't really know what the next step is. You just know a next step needs to happen in your life or your job, but you don't know what that is. I think one of the realities that we face is so many times as we think of this time of the year, we think that real change and real contentment will come if we could only do something spectacular. So we long for some kind of spectacular, dramatic change in our life. And we think that if we could just find that spectacular thing, that person, that new job, that big thing, that it would create a significant change within us. And so many times we fail to see that there are really, really small steps right in front of us that we can take. In all honesty, I've done this over and over. I am an idealist. And I love it and I hate it all at once. So I get so excited about big things that so many times God has to remind me it's small things. You know, we often think, and many of us have thought, boy, if I could just take a weekend and get away and do nothing but pray and read God's word, then I'll have everything I need for this entire year. And certainly we see Jesus and other saints of the past, they would withdraw. There is something meaningful about taking carved out time to retreat. But what about small steps? What about little teeny steps that happen day by day over a long period of time? And it's easy for us to think about the spectacular that we entirely miss those little teeny steps of faith. And I think that's what Jesus gets at in talking about faith the size of a mustard seed. Perhaps we're looking outside or around us rather than within. It's in the heart where God wants to dwell. It's in your heart and my heart. And rather than around us with all the things that are happening externally, God wants to know you in here. Inside, he wants to dwell within you. He wants to make his home in you. And if we're not careful, we get so preoccupied looking out, looking big, that we forget that still small voice. The one who is our Father, who desires relationship with us through Jesus, who sent his Son to make that possible. So I want to share a scripture with you this morning. It's just a couple verses. Psalm 4, 6 through 8. I'm going to put this on the screen. You can follow along as well. And this really was not the passage I intended to use this week. It's not what I thought that I would do when I was mapping out this series. This came out of my own devotional life. I started in the new year reading in Psalms, and I was struck by verse 6. And my staff already know, our staff already knows that, since they're hearing this for probably the fourth time. And I'm sorry for that. But verse 6, David says, this is a psalm of David. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. Many people say, who will show us better times? Boy, isn't that relevant. Many people are saying, hey, who's going to show us better times in 2021? Right? Here's what David says. Let your face smile on us, Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvest of grain and new wine. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. I love this little passage. In fact, I've read through this so many times and I've never seen or noticed this simple few verses that redirect our focus away from those external realities to what God wants to do within us. We need a change of focus. And that's what I want to talk about today. We need a change of focus. I want you to notice David and how David here is, we can contrast David with the world or the way of the majority. David's desire and focus, if you look at verse 6, differ from the majority. David's desire and focus differ from the majority. Verse 6, once again, many people say, who will show us better times? So this is what most people are doing. This endless pursuit, this focus of trying to find contentment, meaning, purpose, happiness, whatever you want to call it, they're looking for that externally. People are looking for better times. They look to external things, circumstances, perhaps politicians, whatever it may be. People are looking for better times. And David voices that. He acknowledges that many people are going around saying, where are we going to find better times? We're looking for better times. But then David's desire and focus is very different from what the majority are saying. Let's look at the majority. People are saying, who will show us better times? Here the focus is on temporary things. Oftentimes we could link this with prosperity. Individuals who are looking for prosperity, they're trying to find a way that they could find fulfillment, happiness in life through prosperity. And one of the dangers of prosperity, in fact, it's not bad to desire prosperity, and none of us should desire the opposite, but yet one of the dangers is as we're looking for happiness, contentment, fulfillment, and external things, one of the dangers is that we'll actually begin to find a little bit of that. And what can happen is when we achieve or when we find that success, that we'll come to a place where it leads to indifference towards God. It's that I found what I'm looking for, so I don't need God. Things are going well. I got the job I wanted. I have the right amount of money in my bank account. Finally, I've made it. Therefore, I don't need God. And it can lead to indifference. But we all know that that does not last forever. So David's focus is very different. What does David say in response to this? He says, let your face smile on us, Lord. So what is David doing here? He's aware of the rat race, of everybody trying to find meaning, purpose, contentment. And David says, I hear that, I see that. But then David says, let your face smile on us, Lord. David is seeking God's favor. He delights in seeking God's favor and God's smile upon him. And he has a rest from this tireless search of always trying, but never really finding that contentment. He understands the rest that comes from a small faith in a big God. Even in David's life, we could go through so many episodes in his life, and I don't have time to do that today, but we can think of the classic story of David and Goliath. Once again, we can see it's not Saul's army that God needs. It's not Saul's armor. And back then, Saul is the king. He had the state of the art, the latest, greatest armor. God did not need that. Rather, it was David's faith. Small David. Small faith that God could use because God is big. It's small faith in a big God that moves mountains. You see, God didn't need the ability and the effort of the army or the king or the armor. He didn't need that extra ability. But rather, it was the faith, the small faith in a big God that moves mountains. So a prayer that I would have for us this year would be, Lord, help us to delight in seeking your favor. Help us to delight in seeking your favor. You know, I really struggled with wording that. I did, and I'm not sure I worded the right thing here, but what I was struggling with is so many times when we use the word seek in church, it's like this negative thing. It's like, oh, I've got to, there's this like legalistic, I'm seeking, and I have to be desperate to get this reluctant God to maybe see my desperation, and maybe then he'll give me what I need. And that's not. We are told to seek God with all of our heart, then we'll find him. We do need to humble ourselves of our pride and come before God as the Almighty God. There's truth in that, but on the other hand, David understands something different here. It's his delight in God. Seeking God for him is not a legalistic chore. It's not motivated by fear. He's not trying to seek God for acceptance from God. No, this is him delighting in God. He's saying everybody else is chasing after things. And they're not bad things and they're okay. But for David, he first and foremost is seeking God's favor. Because from before the face of God, the Almighty Heavenly Father alone is true contentment, true joy, true happiness that lasts. David understands this. And because of this, David receives greater joy and contentment. Look at verse 7 with me again. David receives greater joy and contentment. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvest of grain and new wine. Abundant harvest and new wine bring joy and signify here prosperity. And the world is constantly chasing after contentment through prosperity. Once again, it's not bad to seek to prosper. In fact, Scripture speaks about that a wise person does seek, but when a wise person prospers, it's to be generous to others. So prosperity is not a bad thing. In fact, God created us to flourish, but rather seeking contentment from prosperity is a bad thing. Because prosperity in and of itself will not bring contentment. You can prosper in every sense of the world's terms and desires, and you can be miserable. Contentment cannot be found merely through prosperity. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to prosper, but we shouldn't seek contentment through prosperity. The world is constantly chasing after contentment through prosperity. It's constantly looking for the good life. We're constantly being sold different visions of the good life. In fact, I'm looking forward to some playoff football this afternoon, but with that comes all the commercials that are going to show me pictures of the good life. If I have the new iPhone 12, it's the good life. If you have the new whatever, this new car, it's the good life, right? It's constantly showing us pictures that if this is happiness, this is contentment. So many times we find ourselves being pulled into these desires. And while it is good to work hard and enjoy the benefits of success that often come because of great human effort, we must remember that our efforts aren't the source of lasting joy and contentment. You know, we can be in denial about that for a while, can't we? I was in the back over... You know, the winter wonderland that we've had. I was in my parents' woods with my kids over this break. I took a week of vacation, And I was getting there, and I made a mean snowball because one of my kids hit me in the back of the head with a snowball when I was working. You know how that goes. And so, man, I packed it a big one. I might have even squeezed it to make it a little hard so that it would knock some sense into one of my kids. And I went to wind up. And you know how this goes. And I put my arm this high, and all of a sudden I felt a pain right here. And that pain was kind of, I noticed it again when I was helping move Pastor Matt a little bit yesterday. And and there was that reminder, even my abilities. I mean, I used to be able to just whip that sidearm, you know, snowball with precision. Now I kind of did one of those. And thankfully, I don't think my kids saw that, because they would have never let me live that down. I have three boys who, yeah. So, but there's a reminder that no matter what abilities I have in life, they're good. They don't last forever. I'm not going to be able to do what I did like I once did. It's a reality, and we all face that. And we can live in denial for a long time, but we will not escape the harsh reality of waking up one day and saying, I can't do that anymore. And so it's important for us to see that while there's value in our efforts and abilities, lasting joy and contentment is not found there. You see, David understands this. In fact, in this passage, it amazes me that here he can see his enemies prosper. So he says, I see everybody else. I see the new harvest and the new wine, and I see the success and prosperity of all the world searching after these things. And David doesn't get bitter here. He's not bitter and angry that his enemies are having success, which we are so tempted to be, and in all honesty, we can become. Rather, he is at peace. He has joy and contentment. He can see circumstances in his life become adverse. He can see friends fail him, the wicked prosper, and David doesn't lose his joy, because he has found there is greater joy before the face of God. It's a powerful, powerful message for us to see. John Calvin, I know sometimes he gets a bad rap. We have differences of theology as Wesleyan tradition, but there's a good quote. I was reading his commentary on this passage, and John Calvin says this. He's comparing David with the world, and specifically in this chapter, his enemies. He said, David, on the contrary, he testifies that although he may be destitute of all other good things, the fatherly love of God is sufficient to compensate for the loss of them all. So for David, he would rather have the fatherly love of God. You see, this is delight. This is David delighting. While everyone else is chasing after contentment and joy, David is chasing after God. Not legalistically, not out of a sense of I need acceptance. No, he's doing it because he knows in his heart the fatherly love of God. There is where contentment rests, in a relationship with God. It's enough for David to see God's face and receive his favor. I'm going to quote a little bit more of John Calvin here. I'm going to give him a little bit more time, if that's okay. He says, David uses the expression, the light of God's countenance. Now, I know the New Living Translation talks about God's smile, but the language of God's countenance, to denote his serene and pleasant countenance, the manifestations of his favor and love. Just as, on the other hand, the face of God seems to us dark and clouded when he shows the tokens of his anger, this light, by a beautiful metaphor, is said to be lifted up. When shining in our hearts, it produces trust. It produces hope. It would be enough for us to be beloved by God unless the sense of this love came home to our hearts. But shining upon them by the Holy Spirit, he cheers us with true and solid joy. This passage teaches us that those are miserable who do not, with full resolution, repose themselves wholly in God and take satisfaction therein, even though they may have an overflowing abundance of all earthly things. While on the other hand, the faithful, although they are tossed amidst by many troubles, are truly happy. Were there no other ground for it but this, that God's fatherly countenance shines upon them, which turns darkness into light and as I may say, quickens even death itself. It's a pretty powerful quote. Can somebody amen John Calvin there? Okay, that's maybe a first in the history of our church, right? So I want to take this. This is a thought that as I have reflected on this that I believe God is trying to help me to understand, and it's this: commitment or contentment is not a destination, but a relationship. I want to pause for a second there. Too many years of my life, I have spent my life chasing after contentment. Maybe it's because I'm getting more towards middle age, but I've spent so long thinking that, oh, when I get my degree, life's going to be good. Oh, when I get married, when I buy my first house, when I pay off this debt. And I'm always looking at the next season of my life to make me happy, to find contentment. But God reminds us that contentment, it's not a destination. You can chase after that your whole life, and you'll never find it. You might have it for a bit. You're like, yes! And then all of a sudden, it slips between your fingers, because contentment is a relationship with your heavenly Father who loves you. And you can face the disruption of all things in your life. You can lose your job. You can face death. You can lose a loved one. You can go through anything. And it'll be hard and terrible. But even there, you can encounter the contentment that only God can give, the peace that only He can bring when we seek His favor and when we delight in Him. So my prayer is this. And this is what I would call an example of small faith. Rather than relying on my abilities, rather than chasing after 100 things, if I can just pause and if every day I can just say, Lord, help me. I need your help to seek contentment in your everlasting arms. Like previously, the other prayer, Lord, would you just help me to delight in seeking your face? Lord, help me. Give me the desire. Those little prayers, trusting in a big God, God hears and He will work within our hearts. Finally, David here, as we look at our last verse, verse 8, we can see that David is freed from the many fears of the world. He can rest because he is protected by the power of God. What David says here is what I want. It's what's available to me. It's what I want for you this year. Listen to the verse again. David says, in peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. Where are you looking for protection? Where are you finding peace at right now? Maybe I should ask a different question. Where are you having a hard time finding peace right now? What's robbing you of joy? What's keeping you up at night? What's making you anxious, restless? Hear the word of David here. As he seeks God's face, he says, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. I also think of Psalm 91. I don't have time to read it, but I love David in Psalm 91 where he says, won't be afraid anymore. Part of the reason he's saying that, because he's been afraid. I think if we're all honest, we all have fear. I think we do. In different ways, it may be hidden, it might show up differently, but David says, I'm not going to be afraid anymore because I have God, and I am safe under the shadow of His wings. If you get time, read Psalm 91. So here, while the world is continuously filled with anxious thoughts and endless pursuits for safety, meaning, and lasting contentment, David lies down and he goes to sleep. He breathes in and he breathes out, and he has confidence in his God, because he is kept safe by the power of God. Here's a thought that I've had that helps me maybe evaluate my own life if I'm misplacing my hope. After something happens disruptive in my life, or could be in the news, could be anywhere, could be anything, a relationship in my life, a friendship, I have to ask myself, and you could ask yourself this, if you are feeling too high or too low about things, could it be a sign that you've misplaced your hope? If you're too excited about something in your life, a new relationship, you're over the top excited, careful. If on the other hand, something happens in your life and you're so low, Could it be a sign that maybe even non-intentionally you've started to misplace your hope? To me, whenever that happens, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to turn our eyes back to the place of hope. Are you anxious and overwhelmed? Maybe surrounded with a sense of negativity with things that are taking place in your life or in the world. I want to remind you, there is a voice. There's a voice that calls you beloved. It's the same voice that at Jesus' baptism from heaven that John the Baptist heard say, "This is my beloved son." You see, it's not just Jesus who's God's beloved child. As we trust in Jesus, we become his beloved children. And we are made for that relationship. We are made to know and love God. One of my favorite stories in all of Scripture is the story of the prodigal son. One of my favorite books on that topic is the book by Henry Nouwen called The Return of the Prodigal. And I've been reading that again. And he says in this, he says that leaving home is living as if it never existed. What he's saying, it's like we leave home, we leave that place where we come before God, the one who created us, who loves us, and we pursue happiness, contentment, and life, and so many other places. And then when we find that those things don't fulfill us, we get disillusioned, and then we go, there's no place for me. You know? And then we doubt that there's even a home to begin with. And if you're there where you're facing the disillusionment that comes from kind of coming to the end of something that you thought would bring contentment. Maybe it was a job, now you got it, now it's just as tough as the other one. You know what I'm talking about, right? Maybe it's a relationship that now is disappointing you. Maybe it's circumstances. When you come to the end of that false hope, let me remind you, there is home. You can always come home. I can't tell you the amount of times, as a Christ follower, I've started to take that trip to the far country, thinking that there's home somewhere else, not intentionally, and then God says, come on back. And he's always calling us back. There's a place where we belong. There's a place that brings lasting contentment. We think our abilities will bring contentment, love, safety, meaning in this life. And at times we experience small glimpses of these realities, but we stop short of seeking from God only what he can give. And when we come to that point of disillusionment, God, that still small voice, is still calling us back, calling us beloved, inviting us back to our true home, which is in the Father's love for us. So my prayer is, Lord, help us to find our home in you. Help me to remember that I do have a place of safety. Help me to remember that my life, even in its worst moments where life doesn't make sense, we've all been there, you get seasons and it doesn't make sense, and you're, God, why am I here? Maybe you find yourself saying, remember, there is a place of home for you. God created you so that he could have his home in your heart. He wants a relationship with you. Because of what Jesus has done, he has come through the Spirit that he would dwell in us and that we would have within us the hope that only can come from the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God loves us, that God accepts us, not because we're lovely, we are sinners, but because we trust in his Son, the righteous one, who gave his life for us, who died for our sins to take them away. We can have home in that relationship. So as we close, I want to invite you to think of 2021 as a year of opportunity. 2021 is a year of opportunity. You know, would have been a little easier if all of a sudden there was a magic wand in 2021, everything was just completely back to normal. Many of you, most of you, are still working from home. Still wearing these silly things, right? Getting ready. There's so many things going on. There's so many inconveniences that are still there, right? You know, there's still political fighting. It's just the world is still going about its way. Things are still happening. And in this time of transition, 2021, we're going to come out of this. We are. We'll come out of it. But there's an opportunity. We have an opportunity not to rely on our great abilities, not to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but to lean in with small faith in a big, big God. So what mountain is it that you need him to move? You have two options. Go get the shovel. God, help me. Help me with this problem. And you just dig. Good luck with that. And God's ready to help. put down the shovel, trust in him. Say, God, I need you. He'll lead you. He'll give you the power to take steps you actually need to take. But it'll be him working in you. He'll use your efforts. He'll use your abilities. But it won't be because of those efforts or ability. It'll be because of his grace alone in you. Matthew 17:20. I'm going to close with this verse. And this is really going to be the theme verse of this series. This is the words of Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Now, as a kid, I used to always think, like, boy, should I go out in my backyard and find a mountain? First of all, in Illinois, it's pretty hard to find some mountains. Wouldn't that be cool if I could just be like, mountain, get up? But we miss the point. It's not that we should literally go to a mountain. It's no, it's things that seem impossible. The disciples would have been like, well, that just seems impossible. Jesus is saying, I don't need your great ability to overcome that struggle. He doesn't need us. And so many times we think he needs us, and that's what keeps us from experiencing his grace that will transform us. What he wants is for us to place that little faith in him. And let me encourage you, when you're tempted to feel, especially at the beginning of this year, in 3 days, I'm going to make up for everything that needs to change in my life. I'm going to eat an elephant all right now. To use the old metaphor, let me remind you, little faith. Every day, if you could just say, every day, would you help me to seek you? Would you help me, Father, to seek contentment in you? Would you help me to find my home in you this year? Maybe if you prayed that every day, that little faith, small faith in a big God over time will result in radical transformation, radical change in our life that's only possible by God's grace. So we leave today. We have something we want to give you for if you'd like to have it. I don't know what's happening. Maybe I'm becoming a hoarder or something. I don't know, but I'm starting to, or maybe it's a raccoon. Raccoons like to hide little shiny things, but the older I get, I'm finding myself that I really, really like to have reminders. And we wanted to give you a reminder for you to take with you for 2021 about this idea of small faith in a big God. It's a coin. Roxanne found these, and I absolutely love them. It's a coin on two sides. On the front, it says, all things are possible with faith. You can't see this, but in the very middle of the coin is a mustard seed, and it's teeny. On the other side, it says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible for you. And what we'd like for you to do is, if this would help you as you begin this year, take this, you can put it in your pocket and take it with you. You could set it on your desk at work. You could put it somewhere where you would see it. And when you're struggling and you're facing something impossible, maybe it's a habit that you want to break. Maybe it's an area of sin that keeps trapping you. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe it's a hard time on focusing on thinking on those things that are pure, that are good. Whatever it is, when you feel it's impossible, we want to remind you that that's all God needs is that small faith. Can you have the faith the size of a mustard seed to admit you need him, to ask for his help, to trust him? Many times we don't come before God because we're like, I can't. It's too hard. I can't do what needs to be done. Well, can you place faith, small faith, in a big God? I think we can by his grace. So we want to give this to you as you leave today. At the end of our service, those are on the Welcome Center at the back of our sanctuary. They're spread out, and feel free to take one. We'd love for that to be a blessing to you and a reminder of the opportunity that 2021 brings us as we place small faith and a big God. Let's pray together as the worship team comes. Father in heaven, your word is good. Your word brings us your truth. Father, I don't know if what part of this that maybe somebody needed today. Maybe they didn't need anything in the message. Maybe it was one of the songs today. I just pray, and I trust, Lord, that whatever the needs are today, that you've been faithful. Father, I know, and I'm reminded once again that it is not my voice that anyone needs to hear today. When we are lost and when we are facing disillusionment of misplaced hope, when we're searching for contentment, when we're dealing with inner fear and things that are happening in our lives or in the world around us, we need to hear that voice that calls us the beloved, that voice that calls us home, that heavenly voice of God our Father calling out to us. Jesus, I know that that voice has changed my life. That voice has given hope to my family. And we just want to say, we want to pray prayers that don't rely on our great ability, our great words, but prayers that express faith the size of a mustard seed. So we just want to ask, Lord, would you help us with all the noise around us? Many people are saying, who's going to bring us better times this year? And that as soon as somebody finds a way, everybody chases after. And here we are, Lord, we like David, followers of Jesus, we've come to find that it is your face we seek. Help us to delight in you, O Lord. For we have found greater joy in you from before your face than we found in prosperity and health and wealth and good circumstances. Father, for those who are facing adverse times right now, for those who are discouraged, depressed, anxious, captivated by fear, Father, I pray right now that they would see that it is your power that keeps us safe. Father, that you are the God who created us for a relationship with you and that contentment is not a destination. So don't let us get caught up in thinking through our own abilities we'll find it. You love us enough to let us fail. You love us enough that even when we chase after those things, they slip through our fingers because you have made us to find contentment in a relationship. So in the midst of all our pursuits, in the midst of all of our abilities, help us, oh God, to seek your face this year. As we do, would we experience you moving mountains in our life? Father, there is no ability in and of ourselves to overcome what seems impossible. But Jesus, you said if we would have faith the size of a mustard seed, we would be able to move mountains, that you would be able to break through into our life and whatever our area of need is. So Father, help us, guide us this year, keep our hearts and minds on you, and help us as we prepare to leave from this place to not focus on great ability, but small, consistent steps of faith over this week, this month, this year. And when we come to the end of 2021, I would pray that we would look back, regardless of the circumstances, good or bad as they may be, and we would see that you've moved mountains for me, you've moved mountains for Peoria Nazarene Church, and that our city would see, that our community, that those who don't know you would see that you are a God who moves mountains, that you can do the impossible. We love you, we give thanks to you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing this song together.